Hey, everybody, Brian Murphy here, and you can make your money work harder for you with Provident Credit Union's Pick a Term Certificate. For a limited time, you can select a term of either 3, 6, or 9 months and earn an impressive 4.75% annual percentage yield, or earn 4.50% with a 12-month term. Yes, up to 4.75%. It's the perfect opportunity to achieve your short-term savings goals while enjoying a high dividend rate. With Provident's Pick a Term Certificate, you have the flexibility to choose the term that suits you best. So whatever you're saving for, Provident has you covered. Visit providentcu.org or swing by a branch for more details. And if you're in the Oakland area, there's a new location at Temescal Plaza. Don't wait. Secure your financial future today. This rate is effective as of March 26th, 2024. Minimum balance required of $10,000. Early withdrawal penalties may apply. Federally insured by the NCUA. For additional information, please visit providentcu.org.
All right, great to be with you on this Saturday morning as we get ready for baseball. Giants lose last night 5-1 to the Reds. And Graham Ashcraft pitched a great game. Pumped those first strikes in there. He's throwing 100, 98, 97. His family was in the stands from Huntsville, Alabama. It was one of those baseball moments last night. And Carlos Rodon took the loss for the Giants. Not a terrible game for him, but not his A game either. All right, Paul White joins us, and of course, one of the best baseball analysts I think in the country, and formerly with USA Today. Paul, how are you?
Great, Marty. How are you doing?
Well, we're doing well, and we've reached that first marker of the season, that quarter pole, so to speak, but it's Memorial Day weekend coming up. And I always like to chat with you and take a look at where we are right now. So you're in the East. Let's start with the East a little bit. And the Mets have a significant lead over the Phillies in Atlanta. And I looked this morning. I said, all right, if everything ended this morning, the Giants would be the sixth wild card, the sixth team.
Right.
The third, I guess, the third wild card, whatever right. you want to call it. But they're three ahead of the Phillies. And, they, of course, they play the Phillies next week. So it's still, you know, obviously a long way to go. But let's look at the East with the Mets and what's behind them, because it could affect the Giants.
Right. And I think, you know, it's going to be very interesting to watch what happens with Mets going forward. They've managed to dance around all the pitching injuries. Obviously, DeGrom hasn't pitched yet. Scherzer's out for a while. Tyler McGill, who was kind of a surprise, you know, their opening day starter, and gave him some decent games. He got hurt. You know, they're benefiting from the rest of the division not playing well, so they've managed to build a decent lead. They're playing a different brand of baseball under Buck Showalter. I mean, this team busts its butt, and if you play for Buck, You always take care of the finer points of the game, and they do that. You can really see the difference in them. Now, can they hold that lead? I mean, it's going to be tough. I think the Phillies, who you're going to see in a couple of days, are probably the biggest disappointment so far in the National League. And all that said, I think they can get a whole lot better in a hurry. What makes me think the Phillies could be tough is they haven't really hit yet. Yet their starting pitching has the best WAR in the National League, and they can be solid. If they hit the way they're supposed to, their starting pitching doesn't have to be all-star level. It's got to be solid. It's got to, you know, they've taken their bullpen from historically bad to adequate. When, you know, is that enough? Who knows. But I think before it's over, the Phillies are in that race, and they're certainly be in the wild card race. You know, the Braves have a few more issues than they did a year ago. I mean, it was kind of miraculous what they pulled off last year in that second half, you know, with all the trades falling into place, et cetera. We'll see. They'll be in it. But their young pitching scares me a little bit. Some of those kids have struggled on and off, but, you know, they've got a lot of promise there. So I think that ends up being a pretty decent race before it's over, unless the Mets pitching suddenly gets totally healthy in the second half.
Paul, Bill Lasky joining you and Marty today. And the New York Mets were just here in San Francisco, and their offense is just a miracle. They hit the ball well. They hit the ball out of the ballpark. Defense is okay. What do you think about the relief pitching? Because I think sometimes the relievers throw really hard, but they just try to throw ball by guys. They challenge them with the fastball, and it ended up hurting them two out of the three games.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, the key is, I mean, the key is getting to Diaz. Diaz, you know, like most, he's on that borderline elite closer. He has his little glitches now and then, and it, you know, but for the most part, he's one of the more dependable closers in the game. And you know, to go along with what you said, he's the one guy that will try to devastate you with that slider of his to go with a, you know, 100-mile-an-hour fastball. You're right. He tries to pitch. But getting to him has been an issue, and they've had some, you know, remarkable games, including that crazy one they had with you, which Diaz gave it up. But
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that is a concern for them. And right now, I think what's happening is the injuries in the rotation have kind of filtered down. Their pitching depth has been sorely tested. They're bringing up guys in the minors. They brought up a guy, Thomas Zapucki, the other day. Didn't get out of the second inning. They're just trying to piece it together right now. And I, you know, and that's what I guess my point is. I think that catches up to them at some point. Now, does that catch up to them before they get the starting pitching straightened out? If they're going to get it straightened out? You know, what happens first? And I think there's going to be sort of a crossroads here, probably getting around the All-Star break, where if the Phillies and or Braves start to play the way they really should, we could have a race.
Boy, great point. Good question from Bill. I think it's the Mets to win, and someone's got to take it from them. And that's the question. Is there a team that can take it from them? Because they have enough hitting. Pete Alonso.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, MVP kind of year. You've got Machado MVP kind of year. Mookie Betts has gone wild. Freddie Freeman. So they've got the guy. But can the Phillies, with Zach Wheeler, who right now, Paul, Zach Wheeler may be the best pitcher in the National League.
Right, right.
Really, they've got the horse and they've got the players. Can the Phillies take it away? And that's going to be the question. And I think it's important for the Giants because – you know, the Phillies are a team, you know, this could be a wild card team if the Mets do win that division. So the Phillies, I think of this discussion, I think the Phillies are the team that we have to look at. What about the Marlins? The Giants play four with the Marlins next weekend. And, of course, Miami's always been a tough place for the Giants to win. It's a big ballpark. The Marlin pitching has slowed down a little bit, as I like to say, Aguilar. And Garcia and Soler are still on vacation. do the Marlins have any chance here of getting back into this thing or being a real pain in the neck? And they could be for the Giants next weekend.
Well, I think there's two issues there. Getting back into the thing, probably not, because potentially you've got one really good team that we know, the Mets in that division, and two others that should be good. The Marlins don't match up with any of them. But pain in the neck, oh yeah, because you talked about their pitching, and that's their strength, and they, especially in their ballpark, because they can pitch to that big ballpark. Pablo Lopez is right up there with anybody in the league. You're right; some of the other guys have been inconsistent, but they're young and they're great arms, and you know those are the kind of teams and the guys that I look at as who can give you a problem going into the second half of the season? Who's going to get better? And if you've got young players who are growing, I think Cincinnati, who the Giants are playing this weekend, are a perfect example. I don't think they'll be the worst team in the league before this is over. I don't think they'll be the worst team in that division before it's over because they've got some fabulous young arms who are going to get better. They shouldn't be in the major leagues yet, some of them. And they're learning on the job. You know, Ashcraft pitched well last night, Hunter Green. But the Marlins are like that, but they're probably a year or two ahead of the Reds in that standpoint because some of those young arms have begun to develop. Now, a year ago, we thought Eliezer Hernandez was kind of falling into that. Now, he's been bumped to the bullpen. Rogers, very inconsistent, throws a lot of home runs. But They're good enough. They're going to get you into a 3-2 game in their place, and who knows?
Hey, Paul, let's jump over to the Central and talk about Milwaukee and St. Louis, who's leading the division because Chicago, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, all under 500. Peralta going on the IL for Milwaukee doesn't really help in the starting rotation, but you would think that this team, the Brewers, have enough offense to blow that division up, and St. Louis is hanging on.
Yeah, I think St. Louis is going to be interesting. They'll push them. You know, and Woodruff left last night with an injury. I don't know quite what that is. I didn't hear any follow-up on The Brewers can take one out of the rotation on Peralta because Aaron Ashby's been fabulous as a swingman, and I think he can start for him, and they've got a deep enough bullpen if he doesn't give them more than five or six innings in the start. But if you go to a second one, then it starts to get a little dicey. And, the Cardinals are playing good baseball right now. And Edmund has taken over. He's one of the best offensive players in the league to go with Arenado and Goldschmidt. They're doing it without Dylan Carlson. He's on the IL. They're a nice team, especially in a division that's not as strong as the other two divisions. But I think that's a two-team race. And again, like Marty said about the Mets, for the Brewers, it's theirs to win. And I think that really comes down to just keeping that rotation reasonably healthy.
Yeah, they still don't hit enough for me. I've said this over the years, last couple of years. They still don't hit enough for me. But the pitching has been really the strength. I didn't know that Woodruff was hurt last night. And, Bill, I think Peralta losing him for the year is a big deal. I think that race is still very much open. I really do.
They need Yelich to just come Yelich again.
Well, they've been saying that since 2018.
Since you got there, I know.
We'll see. You make an interesting comment about the Reds not being the worst team in the division. Who's going to be the worst, the Cubs or the Pirates?
Probably the Pirates. The Reds are an interesting situation. You caught them right at the wrong time. This is a team that came into the season. It couldn't have been more negative around Cincinnati. Ownership told them to start selling off guys in the offseason. The owner is like, braiding the fans because you don't support us. Maybe we have to look to go somewhere else. It was a very, very negative situation coming into the season. They knew it was going to be a young team that they could hope to develop. They started out horribly, obviously. Part of that because their pitching was totally beat up. Castillo, who should be their ace, didn't start the season. He was hurt. And they were forced to bring some of these kids along a little too soon. Hunter Green's going to be a great, great pitcher. He's learning on the job, and by all accounts, really smart kid, real student of the game. But he's probably up too soon. Ashcraft, they've tried to be careful with, but they've been forced to. This is the second time that they brought him up for a start last night, and you saw how he pitched. But you can see the promise there. And they've got a bunch of other arms, some of whom started the year on the big league club, and they sent back to the minors. No, they're not going to be a great team, but they're going to be a pesky team as these kids learn how to pitch at the major league level. And Joey Votto's hitting one something. I mean, he's going to do better than that, but there's not a lot of offense there. Jonathan India was rookie of the year. He's been hurt for half the season so far. I think Stevenson's underrated as an offensive guy, the catcher. He's a real nice player. But, we're talking, could they – under normal conditions, could they be close to a 500 team? Well, probably not because of the start they had, but I think they're now good enough, and there's an edge on that team now. I don't know if they've taken this siege mentality, it's us against the world, but their series against the Cubs this week was as nasty and feisty as it gets, and people thrown at each other. Joey Votto starts trash talking Rowan Wick, one of the Cubs pitchers. He didn't even hit him. He just threw close. And Votto even said after the game, "Hey, sometimes I just let that pass. I'm just not in the mood for that." And they got Tommy Pham, who, if he was a better offensive player, could be baseball's version of Draymond Green. There's an edge now. There's an attitude there, and it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out with them.
Paul White joining Marty and I and talking baseball today. I want to go to the Cubs real quick because all I'm reading is, hey, we're going to spend money next year. We're going to go right back out into the free agent market. What direction is this front office doing? Because they sell off, they trade people, and now all of a sudden the direction is now we're going to rebuild and buy all these free agents next year. Do we know what the Cubs are thinking?
One thing you learn real quick being around baseball is – the one thing you don't know is what the owner's telling the front office. And I think that's where a lot of this comes from. And, there's a sense in the last year or so it became public, hey, we're rebuilding. All right, we're going to, it was pretty obvious as they sold off last year. But it's hard to sell that to that fan base. And, if they're going to go to the free agent market and rebuild that team next year, they better have eight guys lined up to sign, because I don't know. They got a lot of places they got to fill in holes, and they're nowhere close. You know, where's the young talent? They've got some okay guys. You know, the core that from that World Series team, the only decent young player on that of the group that's still there is Wilson Contreras. We've been hearing for a year and a half that he's the next guy to go. So I don't buy that they're going to just dive into the free agent market and fix it. I think they've got to get a couple more young, good pieces in there before it's even worth your while to sign people. I mean, okay, you bring in a couple of guys next year. Does that make that team a contender? Probably not.
No, they're ways away, believe me. Luckily, they have Wrigley Field to sell, but they got trouble. And
yeah.
Contreras is going to be somewhere else. I'm convinced of that, and the Giants would love to have him, because Kirk Casale is back on the active list today, and the Papirski era may be over in San Francisco, thank goodness. And Joey Bart still hits the ball hard. He just doesn't make contact all the time. So Contreras would fit nicely, really, with the Giants, at least for a couple of years. Hey, Paul, let's look at the West, because the Dodgers have a chance to do something that hasn't been done since 1939, and that's have a run differential over 400. And that the largest was 401 in 1939 with the old Yankees of Lou Gehrig and players like that at that point. But come on, the Dodgers are on a pace for 420.
Yeah, well, I think the offense will hold up its end of that bargain. The key will be the Dodgers' pitching depth from that standpoint. They have plenty enough to win the division, no doubt in my mind. How will the whole of the pitching staff hold up over the season? They may give up enough runs here and there that that keeps them from setting a record like that. I don't think it'll keep them from winning that division. I still think that issue could come up to bite them in a short playoff series against the wrong team. We'll see what happens with that. But they're the class of the league. It's clearly the class of the National League, and I think they'll eventually. It wouldn't shock if they're 10-12 games better than anybody else in the league when the season's over, especially because the Mets, we talked about their pitching issues, probably can't keep up the pace and keep their record up there. But this is a juggernaut, but again, is that enough to win in the postseason?
I tell you what, Paul, the San Diego Padres aren't going away. They played very well, sweeping the Giants here. Manny Machado just had one hell of a series. Of course, Marty named him the MVP the first 2 weeks of the season. hitting .357 right now. Is he the MVP? And do you think this team, and Eric Hosmer sure hitting the ball well, he's hitting over .330. Are these a two-team? I mean, is this going to be a two-team race between the Dodgers and the Padres?
Yeah, I think the Padres can stay close, and obviously they're going to need we've almost forgotten now that Tatis will be back eventually. They're going to get a whole lot better offensively. Again, because I think the Dodgers' overall pitching staff isn't as overwhelming as it has been in the past few years, if the Padres can pitch up to that level, I think they can hang in there. I still think, as we go down the stretch, the Dodgers will eventually pull away. But if the Padres get enough starting pitching, they can hang in there. And, you know, they may end up with second best record in the National League. I think that's a very good possibility, but it might not be near enough to win a division.
Boy, it's interesting. Here we are at Memorial Day, and we're actually saying only 45 games into the season. as Bill said, you got the Padres and Dodgers and Giants. They're not going to go away. They're a solid team the way they play the game. You got the Brewers and the Cardinals, and you've got the Mets and maybe Atlanta and Philadelphia, and that's it.
Yep.
You know, that's basically it. In fact, unless Atlanta and Philadelphia really pull it together, I think the East, really. You could tell, if you told me today Atlanta won the East, I'd say, okay. I saw that coming. Or the Phillies won the East, okay. Or the Mets. But everything else seems pretty well settled, and it's interesting at the quarter mark that you have teams that are sort of at the bottom. And you know they're at the bottom, and they're not going anywhere.
You know, we've kind of been that way in the National League the last couple of years. That's been the contrast between the two leagues recently. The American League is, all right, the Yankees are just tearing it up right now, and they've got the horses to keep that up. But the rest of the American League is really a jumble, and there's a bunch of teams that think they have a chance, especially with the added wild card team, to get into the playoffs. But you know, for the last couple of years, we've said that about the National League. You know, that there's two, maybe three teams in a division, and that's it. And in the AL, I can only come up with probably four or five teams that I'd say they're just awful. They don't have a chance. Mm-hmm. But there are plenty of those teams in that, you know, probably 80 to 85 win range that they'll find themselves in the race going down the stretch.
Hey, Paul, last one for me. You've been watching the NL West, of course, the Dodgers and the Padres. What is the Giants missing? What is that missing link that the Giants need right now?
You know, I love what the Giants do and how they've pieced this together, and we've seen more of this in recent years. Oakland did it for the last several years and remained a contender. Tampa Bay are the masters at this. You know, it's the baseball in the modern age, but I still think when it gets down to it, to get to that level, you need that guy, or maybe it's two of them in the middle of your order. You need that Mookie Betts or Bryce Harper or Freddie Freeman, or you need that one guy, and preferably two. And the Giants have mastered doing it without that offensively. But I think that's what it – you know, and I think that even can show up a little more in the postseason. You know, you get in a tight series, who's that guy that's just going to take over and win it for you? And you know, as much as I love so many of the Giants players, who's that guy?
Well, it's Carlos Rodon and Logan Webb. And without those two, you could kiss it goodbye, because they need them. But you're right. They need that guy in the middle of the order. And Belt has been hurt. And Peterson is a streaky player. And they do need – they miss Buster Posey. The truth of the matter is.
Absolutely.
In the middle. Hey, great to talk with you. Always a pleasure. And we'll catch up soon. Really a pleasure, Paul. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Lots
Paul.
Lots of fun, guys. Lots of good fun, guys. Enjoy it.
Yeah, that was good. That's Paul White, of course. Love talking ball with him. Bill, you, me, and Kerry will come back and chat it up, and wait till you hear what Tommy Pham has to say, or what he did say today, and about a suspension that has been come down on Tommy Pham. So, Bill, Kerry, and I'll be back with more right after this.
Hey, everybody, Brian Murphy here, and you can make your money work harder for you with Provident Credit Union's Pick a Term Certificate. For a limited time, you can select a term of either 3, 6, or 9 months and earn an impressive 4.75% annual percentage yield, or earn 4.50% with a 12-month term. Yes, up to 4.75%. It's the perfect opportunity to achieve your short-term savings goals while enjoying a high dividend rate. With Provident's Pick a Term Certificate, you have the flexibility to choose the term that suits you best. So whatever you're saving for, Provident has you covered. Visit providentcu.org or swing by a branch for more details. And if you're in the Oakland area, there's a new location at Temescal Plaza. Don't wait. Secure your financial future today. This rate is effective as of March 26th, 2024. Minimum balance required of $10,000. Early withdrawal penalties may apply. Federally insured by the NCUA. For additional information, please visit providentcu.org.